Welcome back to the Big Show podcast at Podomatic.com. My next guest is guitar player extraordinaire. His name is Joe Satriani. He was recently in our area at one of the area guitar centers doing a clinic. Joe Satriani is best known for his solo work, including things like Satch Boogie, Summer Song, and of course The Extremist, but lesser known for teaching people like Kirk Hammett of Metallica and Steve Vai also different techniques forwarding their guitar positions. He's toured Australia with Mick Jagger, he has played with Robert Fripp, and of course he has led the G3 Guitar Series tours all throughout Europe, Australia, Asia, and the United States. He was kind enough to join us on the Big Show. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest is Joe Satriani. Joe, thanks for coming on the show.
Wow, I love that intro. That's great. Glad to be here.
Well, I was trying to figure out how to do the intro, really, because when it comes down to it, guitar playing has changed over the years. When you start at the earliest days of, you know, real hard rock playing with your Jimmy Pages, your early Eric Claptons, and we've moved up through guitar heroes like your Eddie Van Halens into metal heroes, even like, you know, Dimebag Darrell and Kirk Hammett. But guys like you really stand in a class of your own. I wanted to start by asking you about your early days. You started at 14. How do you go from being a 14-year-old, I want to play guitar, to becoming a virtuoso?
Oh, wow. Well, that's hours and hours of painful practice, really. I was growing up, you know, at that very age, listening to the guys you just mentioned, you know, Jimmy Page, Eric Clapton, Jeff Beck, Pete Townsend, jazz players like Wes Montgomery, blues players like Muddy Waters, B.B. King, Albert King, Freddie King, Johnny Winter, and of course Hendrix was my main influence, and those guys laid it down so well. It was a very difficult thing to even think that you'd, you know, gain parity with their amazing musicianship, but that was the goal.
Well, it's funny because, you know, that seems to be the goal of musicians. I don't know if you have an answer for this, but what do you think separated you from being, you know, like the rest of us, decent players, but not virtuous? Do you think it was, is it biological? Do you think it was your teachers? Where did it, how did it affect Joe Satriani differently?
Wow. I don't know. It's difficult for me. You know, from my perspective, I feel like the same 14-year-old kid that's struggling with the guitar every day. It's a tough instrument to play, you know, and it takes constant work. I don't think of myself as being, you know, in front of anything. Actually, I still feel like that kid trying to catch up to everybody.
Joe Satriani's our guest on the Big Show tonight. He's in Plymouth Meeting at the Guitar Center. And Joe, are you doing kind of a tutorial? Are you just going to play for the folks? What do you plan on doing when you do these tours of guitar centers across the country?
Well, it's an unusual opportunity where we have a week prior to my rehearsals for our upcoming tour where I'm available, and our new record, Professor Satchafunculus and the Mysterium of Rock, is being released. We have new guitars to talk about from Ibanez. We have the stuff from PV, the JSX amp. We have the new Vox pedal. So there's a lot to go over besides just talking about scales and modes and chords and rhythms and guitar techniques and stuff like that. So I try to get 30 minutes of performance with some explanations, do some Q&A afterwards with the audience, and then sit down for about 2 hours and sign just about anything they'll put in front of me.
Oh, that's, you're always gracious. Let me ask you about some of your equipment. You know, as little, you know, probably the same when you were growing up, when I was growing up, you know, Jeff Beck was playing on some Fender Strat, so I wanted to buy a Fender Strat, and I was looking for his amp, and then you buy all this stuff, you don't sound exactly like the person you're trying to imitate. I have to ask, does Joe Satriani use the stock pickups if I go out and pick up an Ibanez off the wall?
Absolutely. Yeah, and that's what people would see tonight. I mean, I'm playing a JS-1200 or a JS-1000. I brought two guitars along. I'm going into my usual assortment of pedals that you could get at any guitar center. And I've got my JSX head, and sometimes it's a straight 4x12, sometimes it's a slanted. I've even done one of these clinics in a combo. It really depends on on what hasn't been sold yet the day I show up to do the clinic. And, you know, they get to see me up close play through this gear that they could just walk over to the counter and order or purchase right over the counter. And that's something that, you know, we've been at this for a very long time, especially Ibanez and myself. It's been over 20 years. We've had this really great relationship, and we just keep, every year, we keep tweaking the model so they get better and better. The consistency is better, and they reflect on a real finite level all the things that I like to feel when I pick up a guitar.
Now, Joe, you have played with, you know, all kinds of other people, from Blue Oyster Cult to another one of my personal favorites, Deep Purple, but you've really made the name just being Joe Satriani. When you set out to work on your career, being an instrumental musician in a pop culture wasn't big, especially in the 80s. Was it your plan to make your fame and fortune as a solo instrumentalist, or did you just kind of not have a plan? How did that start out and work out?
Well, it's cool that you brought that up, because you know, I'm the poster child for the accidental career, really. You know, I was always the guitar player in a rock band. I'd sing a couple of songs, but mostly I was singing backup, and that's all I was really trying to do, was write great songs with other band members. And I suppose at home, for my own musical development, I would write some quirky instrumentals, but it was really just to figure out new avenues of playing. And, you know, I started to make some recordings just to get some experience in opening up my own record company and opening up a publishing company and, you know, learning how to record things. And it's just because someone said, hey, you know, you should make that available. Someone might like it. And then, you know, a year later, someone said, can I play your tapes for this guy, you know? And then before you know it, I had a record deal. And then I recorded, you know, even when I recorded Surfing with the Alien and it was released, I had no touring act. And I was assuming that I'd just go back to what I was always doing, which was teaching and playing in bands. And the label said, no, you've got to go out on tour. And I thought, well, I don't do this in front of people. I only do it in the studio, you know? So that whole period, the early 1988, hitting the road, playing lead guitar for Mick Jagger, that whole 12-month period of 88 was such a life-changing period of time, because I realized that I'd become a solo artist. This sort of, by accident, this career kind of fell in my lap. And then I got a lot of increased notoriety because I was suddenly playing with Mick Jagger. So, wow, things happen like that, you know, you just go with it.
Well, it's amazing because you did play with Mick Jagger. As we said, you played, you know, you played with Blue Oyster Cult, you played with Deep Purple. Some of your notable students are someone we mentioned already, Steve Vai, Kirk Hammett. Talk about some of the influence you gave to those guys as you were teaching them. And honestly, I want to know, how good of a player was Kirk when he showed up at your door?
Oh, Kirk was really good at the time. I mean, he was already playing in the band Exodus. So, you know, he was ready to move into Metallica, that's for sure. So we didn't really have to go over basics. What we started to do was talk about theory immediately, because in the world of thrash metal, there were guys writing some very interesting chord progressions, and when guys like Kirk would look back at their heroes like Michael Schenker or Hendrix or Stevie Ray Vaughan, they couldn't hear them doing anything like what they were doing at a Metallica rehearsal. So the question to me, you know, was, Joe, what do I do when the chord progression's got all these strange notes in it? And, you know, as a teacher, you know, my job was really just to show Kirk the options and show him how to deduce the options every time some unusual chord progression came up. And I let Kirk make up his own mind as far as, you know, what kind of scale to use, you know, how exotic to get, or how to stick to bare bones rock and roll. And, you know, the sound that he created was, you know, from his own personality.
Joe Satriani joins us on the big show this evening. He's going to be at the Guitar Center in Plymouth Meeting, but he's going to be doing guitar centers all over the United States. So you can go on the web, you know, do what I do, Google Joe Satriani, and after you get through the 10,000 posts that are there, you can find out if Joe's going to be in a town where one of your friends live. Joe, Another question I wanted to ask you was, you know, you've been an influence in not only your everyday guitar player's life, bigger players like Steve Vai, Kirk Hammett, so on. Talk about your teachers and the people they were, because from what I read, a couple of your teachers were not only very well-versed in theory and playing, but they were also, they had that critical eye, and I guess they were pretty hard to study under.
Well, I think a good teacher will tighten the screws if the student asks for it, you know. And you know, going back to high school, Steve Vai went to the same high school as me, so we were, you know, a grade or two apart. But we had the same music theory teacher in high school. We both went to a place called Carr Place High School, so it was a public school. But they had a really gifted young a music teacher there who, you know, was heading up the choral department. He taught the general music course and got the green light from the principal to start up a music theory class, because there were young players like myself that, although we were playing, you know, Black Sabbath and Zeppelin all the time, we were still interested in the secrets of music. And so I spent, my 11th and 12th grades studying theory and advanced music theory from this guy, and we basically got a college education in music at the high school, you know, period. And that was really a fantastic experience, because it, you know what, he didn't enforce any kind of style on us, didn't make us learn how to play in the classical vein or in the jazz vein or in anything. It was pure information, and he showed us how it would work in rock and roll, in experimental music, and any kind of music that was around during the day. And that was pivotal, because it made us stay interested and it made us motivated, and we didn't get turned off, you know, by the method. And so I'd have to say that Bill Westcott, that teacher from Carr Place High School, was that main teacher that was extremely pivotal.
Now, when folks listen to Joe Satriani, you know, sometimes you're coming at him with something that sounds blues-based, and it goes completely away from there.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're coming, and we can hear a seventh or a jazz sound, and it goes completely away from there. When you're building, or when you're starting a song, is it a riff you've picked up? Is it a sound you've had in your head? Are you sitting down and structurally doing it? How does Joe Satriani write?
Wow, well, that could take a couple of hours to talk about, but the condensed...
I have time, Joe.
The condensed version is that sometimes I'm writing with a guitar on. If I'm lucky, you know, I've got the guitar on, I'm suited up, I'm in my studio, and Pro Tools is running. But most of the time, you know, I'm living a normal life like everybody else, so, you know, I'll be walking down the block or doing something domestic, and I'll get this idea in my head, this sound. I'll get inspired by something I'm looking at, something in the newspaper, the TV, the internet, some, you know, party I'm at or something like that. And so I might just write something in my head and remember it. I might be sitting at the piano and I'll write on piano. I've written quite a few songs on the piano, on the bass guitar, and then I transfer them to the electric guitar, and then I make the decision from the producer's chair, you know, if this song should be played with, in fact, a piano, or should it be acoustic guitars or electric guitars or synths or whatever it is I'm trying to achieve with the production of any given record. And it might be a riff. It could be just a melody. It might be an unusual set of chords. You know, this new record opens up with two very strange chords that are part of the Hungarian minor scale, and I didn't really know where the composition was going to go as I was writing it, but that one morning sitting down at the piano, I played these two chords and I thought, well, that's the weirdest thing I've ever played. You know, what is that? And I started to think, well, I wonder if, you know, what am I trying to represent musically? So I start to think about the story that is giving me this inspiration. And sometimes it's a word, sometimes it's, you know, a tragic event in family life or some beautiful event. Sometimes it's just something weird, you know, that I saw on TV, watching the news or something. And, I tell you, I could write a song off a photograph, you know, if I'm so moved. And so I just concentrate on that, and that helps me finish the composition.
Now, Joe, I know you have a lot to do, but and if you don't want to get personal, you don't have to. But you mentioned that, you know, you live a normal everyday life. Well, ever since you started the G3 tours, and, you know, it's mainly been yourself and Steve Vai, and then it's been everybody from Eric Johnson and Yngwie Malmsteen. You know, being a guitar geek and having the millions of guitar geeks who follow you guys, how do you live an everyday life with people like myself who, if I would run into you, you know, we're now building graven idols to guys like yourself, like Steve Vai. What is a normal life for Joe Satriani?
Well, let's say it's definitely a little different, I guess, than some people. But, you know, I guess the key is here is that I have the same, hopes and dreams as anybody else. And so I think that's the key. That's why I write music, based on my human experience. And so in that way, the music can relate to everybody because we're all here together, you know, and we share most things, you know. And so that's our common ground, you know, myself, between myself and the audience. And I want to share my story with everybody else. I suppose it's the odd thing about being an artist is that you have this compulsion to do that. And so that's kind of like all it is. Everything else is, you know, not worth talking about because it's pretty mundane. But one thing I got to tell you is that my manager is knocking on the hotel door right now, and he's saying that I have to go to Guitar Center to get this show on the road. So I'm sorry, I've got to end the interview.
No, Joe, that's not a problem, because I have to honestly tell you, I figured I was going to keep talking to you till you threw me off. Joe, I appreciate it. You have a great night at Guitar Center. If you ever need any advice, feel free to call me. I'll walk you through it.
Thank you.
And we really appreciate you being on the big show.
All right. Thank you very much.
Hey, have a great night, Joe.
Bye-bye.